Mr. Clutter liked Bobby and considered him, for a boy his age, which was 17, most dependable and gentlemanly. However, in the 3 years she had been permitted dates, Nancy, popular and pretty as she was, had never gone out with anyone else. And while Mr. Clutter understood that it was the present national adolescent custom to form couples, to go steady and wear engagement rings, he disapproved, particularly since he had not long ago, by accident, surprised his daughter and the Rupp boy kissing. He had then suggested that Nancy discontinue seeing so much of Bobby, advising her that a slow retreat now would hurt less than an abrupt severance later. For as he reminded her, it was a parting that must eventually take place. The Rupp family were Roman Catholics, the Clutters Methodist. A fact that should in itself be sufficient to terminate whatever fancies she and this boy might have of someday marrying. Nancy had been reasonable. At any rate, she had not argued. And now, before saying goodnight, Mr. Clutter secured from her a promise to begin a gradual breaking off with Bobby. Still, the incident had lamentably put off his retiring time, which was ordinarily 11 o'clock. As a consequence, it was well after 7 when he awakened on Saturday, November 14th, 1959. His wife always slept as late as possible. However, while Mr. Clutter was shaving, showering, and outfitting himself in whipcord trousers, a cattleman's leather jacket, and soft stirrup boots, he had no fear of disturbing her. They did not share the same bedroom. For several years, he had slept alone in the master bedroom, on the ground floor of the house, a 2-story, 14-room, frame-and-brick structure. Though Mrs. Clutter stored her clothes in the closets of his room and kept her few cosmetics and her myriad medicines in the blue tile and glass brick bathroom adjoining it, she had taken for serious occupancy Eviana's former bedroom, which, like Nancy's and Kenyon's rooms, was on the 2nd floor. The house, for the most part designed by Mr. Clutter, who thereby proved himself a sensible and sedate, if not notably decorative, architect, had been built in 1948 for $40,000. The resale value was now $60,000. Situated at the end of a long, lane-like driveway shaded by rows of Chinese elms, the handsome white house, standing on an ample lawn of groomed Bermuda grass, impressed Holcomb. It was a place people pointed out. As for the interior, there were spongy displays of liver-colored carpet intermittently abolishing the glare of varnished, resounding floors. An immense, modernistic living room couch covered in nubby fabric interwoven with glittery strands of silver metal. A breakfast alcove featuring a banquette upholstered in blue and white plastic. This sort of furnishing was what Mr. and Mrs. Clutter liked, as did the majority of their acquaintances, whose homes, by and large, were similarly furnished. Other than a housekeeper who came in on weekdays, the Clutters employed no household help. So, since his wife's illness and the departure of the elder daughters, Mr. Clutter had of necessity learned to cook. Either he or Nancy, but principally Nancy, prepared the family meals. Mr. Clutter enjoyed the chore and was excellent at it. No woman in Kansas baked a better loaf of salt rising bread, and his celebrated coconut cookies were the first item to go at charity cake sales. But he was not a hearty eater. Unlike his fellow ranchers, he even preferred Spartan breakfasts. That morning, an apple and a glass of milk were enough for him. Because he touched neither coffee or tea, he was accustomed to begin the day on a cold stomach. The truth was, he opposed all stimulants, however gentle. He did not smoke, and of course he did not drink. Indeed, he had never tasted spirits and was inclined to avoid people who had, a circumstance that did not shrink his social circle as much as might be supposed, for the center of that circle was supplied by the members of Garden City's First Methodist Church, a congregation totaling 1,700, most of whom were as abstemious as Mr. Clutter could desire. While he was careful to avoid making a nuisance of his views, to adopt outside his realm an externally uncensoring manner, he enforced them within his family and among the employees at River Valley Farm.